This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Tuesday. And here's what's on tap for a Tuesday. Why are so many of these congressmen and senators millionaires? There's a great example laid out in front of us right now. We're going to talk about the system taking care of its own. Why our generals are all morons. The next GOP debate that's tomorrow. Joe Biden being taught how to not trip in long COVID. All that, emails, so much more. Oh, and Liz Wheeler is going to join us about a half hour from now. She's got a lot of stuff about kids we need to talk about. All that. And so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I want to begin here. I want to begin with the late stage republic we live. And what we're going to talk about here is going to explain so much of what we see. So much of what we see is going to come down to the simple explanation that our government is full of people who don't care about the country. They don't care about the government. They're evil. They're selfish. So they're only in it for themselves. That's why we're a late stage republic. Our country is led by people who only care about themselves, and they're in it to enrich themselves. Now, there's something we talk about a ton here on the show about the motivations for these people and why they do what they do and trying to understand what this guy does and what that girl does and trying to figure this out. One thing over and over again we've discussed that is so fascinating is Ukraine. The whole Russia-Ukraine thing. Why is that so incredibly fascinating? It's fascinating because you have this country of 330 million people. And in general, you should have a fairly representative government where they at least will give a voice, even if they don't do anything about it, they'll at least give a voice, usually to something you care about or something I care about, to issues we care about. And instead, you have all these Democrats and all these Republicans screaming about Ukraine at all times. I'm not even going to play you all the sound. I'm not going to bother with it. I have too much I need to say tonight. It's every Democrat from Biden to Pelosi on down. It's every Republican, Mitch McConnell, all of them. Ukraine, nothing more important than Ukraine. Got to give Ukraine, Ukraine missiles, Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. And it's hard for us to figure out, okay, what are these people doing? We have other problems here. Major problems, the borders, overrun.
We all work together to make sure that we provide a bed and a warm meal for everyone. But we are at a breaking point. We're running out of hotels. We're running out of space. And when I talked to Chief Owens from the Border Patrol, he told us to prepare for about 2,000 crossings a day. So that's something we're preparing for.
Why aren't they doing anything about that? Why is it all Ukraine? Well, here's a great example of why. This is how this country works now. In fact, it's two different headlines. I thought they paired perfectly together. First headline is this. Adam Schiff earmarked millions of dollars to his defense contractor donors. Look, we have to understand how this government works, how this country works, how this system works. Why is it, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, why is it that your representative never seems to talk about anything you care about and never seems to do anything you want done because your representative has already been bought off? Adam Schiff doesn't care about the people in his district. Adam Schiff cares about his campaign donations. You see, he's running for Senate against a couple of senators out there in California. Campaign donations are everything. Therefore, he runs the country every day. The business he does is the business of Adam Schiff. He's in the Adam Schiff business. That's the business he's in, and he ain't in a second one. So what does he do? Well, remember, Adam Schiff doesn't have anything of worth himself. Adam Schiff brings nothing, absolutely nothing of worth to the table. He's a useless human being completely. Whether he's a politician or whether he's flipping burgers down at the local Jack in the Box. Adam Schiff brings nothing of value. There's no talent there whatsoever. So how could Adam Schiff receive millions of dollars in earmarks for his campaign? He receives millions of dollars for his campaign because he hands out, I said earmarks, but he receives millions of dollars in campaign donations because he hands out millions of dollars. And how does he acquire those millions of dollars to hand out? He steals them from you. Our entire system is based on stealing from you, on the elites in this country stealing your money, stealing your freedom, stealing your stuff, and selling it to other people to enrich themselves. Adam Schiff will probably be a senator, and he will undoubtedly be a millionaire if he's not already, because he's in the business of stealing your money and handing out your money. And the system, because he has been such a good looter, such a good earner, if you will, Adam Schiff has been and will continue to be rewarded handsomely by the system. You know the mafia, right? Five families in New York, obviously. Everyone's acquainted with these. I'm sure you're well acquainted with these. I know they have big family, the outfit in Chicago and Buffalo and Florida and others, but let's stick with the main five Italian families in New York. Let's say you're just starting out. You're a young up-and-comer. There are really, if you ever read any mafia books, which I geek out on, there are really two ways you get to move up in the world of organized crime. Kill people and hurt people is one of the ways. See, that's actually not the preferred method, though, because if you want to move up faster than that, you figure out a way to be a good earner. You figure out a way to earn the family a lot of money. The whole murder and beating people up thing, that's generally the fallback for the guys who are too stupid to figure out how to earn money. Oh, I can't earn very much money. I at least better show the boss I'm willing to cut someone's head off. But the best way to move on up is to be a good earner. You exist in a gangster country now with a gangster government. That's the country we exist in. And the best way to move up, to get promoted in that system, is to prove yourself to be a good earner. And once you've proven yourself enough, once you've proven over and over and over again that you will earn and you will earn and you will earn, you might find yourself one day as a capo or maybe even the boss. And then it's not that your earning days are over. It's that you've earned so much for others that money now flows into you in droves. For instance, Michelle Obama, she just gave a lecture for 1 hour in Munich. What was the lecture on? The lecture was on inclusion and diversity. And so let's wrap our minds around this. Michelle Obama had to go to Munich. Now, I'm not this fancy world traveler, but I've heard Munich is very, very nice. Let's look, Michelle Obama probably flew there on a private jet. That's a safe assumption, is private jet. So Michelle Obama, she got in her private car with her Secret Service protection. She was driven down to a private airfield where she got on one of the nicer private jets out there, I'm sure. She flew that private jet to Europe, where she was given a $700,000 check for speaking for 1 hour at a diversity and inclusion conference. Why? Because Michelle Obama was such a good earner. During her time, she's been such a good earner for the system that now Michelle Obama has been promoted to the position of capo, and now the money simply flows in wherever she goes. Money and position pours into Michelle Obama. Millions of dollars pour into Adam Schiff's campaign because Adam Schiff has been a good earner. And all this while the Titanic eases beneath the waves. U.S. government shutdown is bad for the country's credit, warns of Moody's. We're facing a shutdown. A shutdown nobody in either party, at least leadership, apparently wants.
Well, you have to keep the government open. I mean, if people want to close the government, it only makes them weaker. Why would they want to...
Okay, so Moody's says we have to keep the government open. Kevin McCarthy says we have to keep the government open. We certainly can't stop it. We certainly can't put the government on hold. We certainly can't pause it to get things reined in. And why do they say that? Because they're all servants of the system trying for the updated and improved system membership card. They only want the government open, Moody, McCarthy, all of them, so they can get in on the Adam Schiff, Michelle Obama bandwagon of being a good earner so the money and position flows back their way. That is the gangster country we live in now. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Then we'll get to generals and long COVID and the debate for tomorrow. We're going to talk about abortion a little bit tonight. We're going to talk about preborn tonight and how we can actually do something about abortion. It is not a subject we can avoid. It's not a subject we should avoid, even if we could avoid it. You see, this is an issue. It should affect everybody emotionally. That innocent babies are being killed every day should affect everyone. We have to do something about it. But what can we do? We can feel so helpless, right? I'm not killing them. You're not healing them, killing them. What do we do? What we do is we provide these young ladies education that it's a life. We give them free ultrasounds. That's what preborn does. They give these young women free ultrasounds. She lays down. She hears a heartbeat. She chooses life. And it's all tax deductible at preborn. Your $28 chooses life. It saves a life and it's tax deductible. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and give whatever you can give tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And yes, we've begun the shutdown rhetoric portion of the United States of America. This is when Democrats lecture Republicans about shutting down the government and Republicans lecture Republicans on shutting down the government. Here's Exhibit A, Joe Biden.
Just a few months ago, the Speaker of the House and I agreed to spending levels for the government. Now a small group of extreme House Republicans, they don't want to live up to that deal, and everyone in America could be faced with paying the price for that. And the black community in particular is going to suffer if that occurs. For example, shutdown is going to risk nutrition assistance to nearly 7 million moms and children. It's going to disproportionately...
Well, of course, the black community is going to be affected uniquely, of course, because everything is about identifying and handing out things or scaring things in the various communist groups in Joe Biden's mind in this country. So, of course, no, it's going to be bad for the black community. Kevin McCarthy has, of course, identified the culprits of this shutdown. Joe Biden identified them. They're Republicans. Kevin McCarthy identified them. Oh, what a surprise. They're Republicans.
Well, you have to keep the government open. I mean, if people want to close the government, it only makes them weaker. Why would they want to stop paying the troops or stop paying the border agents or the coast?
Yes, there it is. Don't worry. I'm going to let him go back and I'm going to let him play it. But there it is. This is the ultimate system servant. These people who get handed out paychecks and handed out position from the system. They're also handed out talking points to use at all times. And at all times, the guaranteed talking point that's guaranteed to get you a mile in Washington, D.C. is the troops, of course. The troops, of course. Shutting down the government. It's devastating for the troops. We care about the troops. Don't you care about the troops? It's definitely the troops. It's not the endless billions, trillions that we throw away on all kinds of useless things. If you want to stop any of that, you don't care about the troops. Here's Kevin McCarthy using his system talking
point. Well, you have to keep the government open. I mean, if people want to close the government, it only makes them weaker. Why would they want to stop paying the troops or stop paying the border agents or the Coast Guard? I don't understand how that makes you stronger. I don't understand what point you're trying to make.
Yeah, well, he's so confused. Why do you want to stop paying the troops? And I love how he had to throw in the Coast Guard. Oh, who cares if we pay the Coast Guard or not? Anyway, let's get to some emails. The emails are jesse@jessekellyshow.com before we get to our generals and the debate and everything. These people sit around and blame Republicans for shutdown as if there's any money. Just a reminder before we get to emails, they're all just arguing over how much money to borrow and spend on things. All this money's borrowed. Dr. Meat, the past weekend I cooked the world-famous Jesse Kelly cheeseburgers. The problem I had was that we killed our own grass-fed beef. The meat was too lean, So I chopped 4 pieces of thick-cut apple-smoked bacon into tiny bits and stirred it into the meat along with the spices you directed us in your recipe. She declared it to be the best cheeseburger she's ever eaten and wondered where I got the recipe. I did what any proud anti-communist would do. I threw my chest out and proudly proclaimed, "It's a little recipe I came up with." He said his name is Terry. That's so well done, Terry. I'm so proud of you. Remember something, kids. Always remember. There's no limit to what you can accomplish if you take credit for other people's work. You never give anyone else any credit. You take what someone else has done and you steal it for your own, claim all the credit, get all the glory. That's what a good person would do. Dear Dr. Jesse, if Biden is impeached, is there any way for Dems to replace Dome as president? This is the ultimate question right now, right? Because that's not what they want. Again, if you want to feel good about something, we have all our own stuff to feel bad about. You want to feel good about something. Democrats are in a brutal pickle right now. They don't want Joe Biden. They don't think they can even afford Joe Biden. He can't speak. He can't talk. He's not likable. So they need a backup plan. And they have the backup plan they want. That's what's driving them really crazy. He's right there, flirting with them every day. Their backup plan. He's the smooth operator going on television, making it sound like California did pretty well during COVID.
You look at the per capita deaths in these states, including Florida. I mean, it's 28.8% higher per capita deaths in the state of Florida than the state of California. We outperformed them in GDP. In 2020, we contracted at a lower rate, and we had a higher growth rate in 2021. And in education, in 3 out of 4 categories, they had higher learning loss than states like California. New York fared similarly.
Yeah, they have Gavin Newsom sitting right there. They have Joe Biden, who they don't want, and they don't want Dome. How are they going to handle this problem? Because this person's going to be a problem.
Your generation is, I think, a very special one. You all have experienced so much already, whether it be that in your entire life you've only known a climate crisis.
Yeah. I say Democrats are in a serious pickle. I've been saying for the longest time, I think they're going to bribe her to get out of the race. But that's just assuming she's going to accept that. Remember how wildly ambitious this woman is. This is a human being who started off her political career degrading herself in order to achieve public office. This is a human being who's gone through a lot in order to be in public office. Can you even bribe that person out? They don't want Joe. They can't afford Dome. And they don't know how to get Newsom. Democrats are in an interesting pickle. Sit back and enjoy. Also, sit back and enjoy this. Sit back and enjoy some Liz Wheeler. She is brilliant, and she's going to join us next. Has a bunch of stuff to say about kids we need to hear. Before we get to Liz, let's get to chalk. Let's get to doing something special for you. I am thrilled that had a conversation with the boys at Chalk with Seton, who runs Chalk. Again, new baby. Congrats to Seton. But we wanted a way to get people going. How do you get people started living healthier? Well, if you're starting a male vitality stack, a female vitality stack, or chocolate powder, or armor, or something like that. How do you get going? How do you motivate yourself to spend the money? Well, help people save a bunch of money right off the bat. Chalk has a special right now, very limited. 99% off the first month of any subscription up to $70. 99% off. You've been waiting for an excuse to get going. This is your excuse. You have to use the code Jesse99 to get that deal, though. Jesse99. Chalk.com. Chalk.com. Jesse99. 99% off the first month. Go and begin. A year from now, you're going to be emailing me saying, "My goodness, Jesse, I'm glad I did." All right? Cancel your subscription at any time. Chalk.com. Code is Jesse99. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Speaking of hiding your children, because we've been talking about Joe Biden, so automatically whenever you hear Joe Biden's name, your natural instinct should be to grab your children and run for cover so he can't sniff and nuzzle them. Joining me now, Liz Wheeler. She has a book out about kids and protecting them in this country that's after them. Liz, is your book a Biden biopic?
Jesse, I hate you for putting that image in my head this afternoon of Biden sniffing children. I am glad to say, I'm happy to report that this book is not about Biden's sniffing problem, which he should be put away from. He should be put away for. The book is much more intense than that, although I'd like to start with the title. This title, Hide Your Children, I was inspired by Antoine Dodson and his viral YouTube video, The Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wife. That's what I actually named my book after, because I thought, listen, we should have a little bit of humor in an otherwise intense topic if we're going to be talking about Marxists.
Let's talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up because I was actually going there next. Marxist and kids. What's the connection, Liz? Why are they so adamant about kids? Because they are. They're so protective of their spot in the teachers' unions. They're so adamant about the Disney stuff. They're so focused on the kids. Why?
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's not a question of whether they're waging a deliberate and relentless attack on our children. Parents across the country, you don't even have to be political. You can see that this is happening. This is actually why I wrote my book, because I started delving into the question of why this is happening in such a concerted effort right now. Who's behind this? What's their goal? Because we have to understand them if we're going to stop them. The truth of the matter is Marxists understand that one of the backbones of a free society is the nuclear family. And when we think of Marxism, a lot of times we think of Karl Marx or the Communist Manifesto, this economic Marxism where the working class revolts against the ruling class, et cetera, et cetera. This anti-capitalism ideology. But the Marxism that we're seeing here in our nation is similar to that, but it's not exactly the same thing, because Karl Marx's version of Marxism kind of died out. He had envisioned a global Marxist revolution that never came to fruition. And so his ideology went out of style for a while until an Italian Marxist by the name of Antonio Gramsci revived it. He's the co-founder of the Italian Communist Party, and he was in prison. Mussolini put him in prison. And he was studying Marxism in prison, and he recognized that where there had been successful Marxist revolutions, it wasn't based on a discontented working class. It wasn't an economic grievance. Where these Marxist revolutions had been successful, the first thing that had happened is the cultural institutions or the civil institutions on which the working class relied were first destabilized. So Gramsci named, among others, he named the media, the education system, religious institutions, the law, and the nuclear family as institutions that must be destabilized. And Jesse, the reason that Marxists today in modern America are targeting our children is because these other four institutions, media, education, religion, and the law, have already been subverted. They've already been captured by the left. The only institution left standing is the nuclear family. And really, of the elements of the nuclear family, the only one that hasn't been sustaining assaults for the last 50 years are children. They're the final frontier. The Marxists have to capture them in order to topple the family.
Okay, let's speak about the American family then, Liz, because it is, I talk about it all the time, it is the ultimate enemy of communism. That's why they attack it so much. What is it about the American family? They see a husband, wife, kids, loving family with values. You would think anyone of any ideological bent would like that. That would be a good thing, but communists do not. Why?
They don't. They don't for two reasons. One is spiritual and one is practical. The practical reason is that when you have a nuclear family that relies on itself, it becomes an autonomous unit in a sense. That you don't have to rely on the government to provide your needs when you have family members who are taking care of you. It becomes a very independent, almost community when you have a family. And Marxists don't like that. They don't want people to be independent. They want people to be dependent on a government. The root of the idea of private property, which is the underpinning of a free market economy, is based in the family. It's that parents are able to work and provide for their families. They're able to instill their values, their beliefs, their religious beliefs in their children. And of course, Marxists don't want that. That ties into the spiritual element of it. I mean, I'm a Christian, so the Christian worldview is that the nuclear family, especially marriage, mirrors the love that Christ has for his church. The husband's supposed to serve as the Christ figure, and his bride serves as the bride of Christ, which is the church on earth, the domestic church. And there's nothing that leftists, particularly Marxists, hate more than Christianity. They hate objective truth. So you combine these two things, the spiritual aspect of it and the practical aspect of it, and you will never see more absolute loathing towards the nuclear family than coming from Marxists, which, again, is why we're seeing this play out in our society and why, for the past decades, it's not new. We've seen women under attack by feminists who were really Marxists in disguise. We've seen marriage itself under attack by politicians who were promoting a no-fault divorce or the sexual revolution, which diluted the meaning of sex belonging within marriage. All these different elements of the nuclear family, masculinity is currently under attack by the same people who use intersectionality as their way to vilify men. The same woman who coined the term intersectionality is the woman who coined the term critical race theory. She's a Marxist. These Marxists have in their direct object the absolute destruction of the nuclear family, and they won't stop until they accomplish it.
Speaking with Liz Wheeler, she has her new book out, Hide Your Children, going gangbusters, I'm sure. Nick, or Liz, can you explain this? We're going to switch gears a little bit here. I just thought of it when you were talking. I get so many emails to my show, I'm sure you do to your show, of lonely dudes and lonely women who are out there looking for that husband, looking for that wife, and they complain, Jesse, I can't find anybody. Jesse, where are all the women at? And the women will email in, Jesse, I can't find a good man. Why are Americans so lonely? You'd think if that many people were looking, they'd be finding each other.
It sounds like that's your next business venture, the Jesse Kelly matchmaking service. That would be a hoot and a half. I highly recommend that you do that. Well, listen, I feel so bad for young people who are suffering from loneliness, who really want what is good and wholesome, really want to fall in love and get married and have a family and raise those children together with their spouse. Because it is more difficult to find young people who are like-minded, because the cultural forces which have been demonizing marriage and demonizing masculinity and demonizing femininity and demonizing traditional gender roles and all of these different things, this has had an impact on our society. Even if a conservative woman hasn't fallen prey to feminism, the whole culture, even her education, has been standing in the way, has been formed around feminism. And so the result of that is we don't have the same community that we used to have. We don't have these thriving religious communities. We don't have face-to-face interaction. It's a lot of disembodied communication. That's why there's so many dating apps. I always recommend that people meet other people through mutual friends and meet other people through church. Think about what you would want in your future spouse, and then get involved in activities that you think that where you would share interests. Maybe that would be pro-life activism. Maybe that would be serving in a church ministry on a mission trip. Maybe that would be politics in general. Maybe it would be your local Republican Party. I don't know. But whatever it is that you're looking for in a spouse, get involved in those activities, because, I mean, we know the Marxists don't want us to be pairing off. And then we have, this is actually interesting that you brought this up, Jesse, because we have some cultural figures like Andrew Tate who are profiting off of, especially young men who are suffering from loneliness. And I find Andrew Tate very interesting because I think he's a very bad person. I think he's leading young men down a path of self-destruction, but he's actually doing the same thing that Republicans have fallen prey to, where he accurately diagnoses the problem. He says society's vilifying men and that's bad. He's correct about that. But then as an antidote to this, he prescribes what's essentially poison. He tells young men to turn to materialism and pornography and exploitation of women, worship of self. And this mirrors, in a sense, the mistake that the Republican Party has made in the past 50 years, where we're very good at saying no to Democrat policies when we don't like them, but we've forgotten to define what's right and order our political policies to try to achieve that.
Speaking with Liz Wheeler, and I want her thoughts on a couple things here in a moment. We're going to speak with Liz about the Republican Party, which she just brought up. We're going to speak with her when we get back from the break about that. I want to talk to her. I want to find out if she's discovered this new technology I have about the noise-canceling headphones. That and so much more is still to come tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to that with Liz, let's get to this. Speaking of technology, I love that I can practice with my weapon in my home. I look, going to the range, practicing with my weapon has always been therapeutic for me. I would recommend it for you. It's a healthy habit. We all need healthy habits. Lord knows I do. And I've always loved going to the range. But sometimes money doesn't allow for it. Time doesn't allow for it. The weather sucks. Mantis X, it attaches to my weapon, and I dry fire practice in the comfort of my home. And this isn't just throwaway practice that's not any good. I will get really good, am getting really good in my air conditioning. Go to MantisX.com and get yours today. They'll put you through drills. They'll get you good. They'll make sure you're fast and deadly and ready. All right? MantisX.com. Go now.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, back with author of the new book. They're after your, well, the book is, I mean, they are after your children. That's not, anyway, I guess Liz can probably sell it the way she wants. The book's called Hide Your Children, but they're after your children. Either way, Liz Wheeler wrote the book and she's here. Hey, Liz. Have you ever heard of these headphones that cancel the noise around you? I discovered these this weekend, got myself a new pair. They're incredible. Have you heard about this technology?
Jesse, how old are you? Of course I've heard about this technology. Of course I have. I wear them on airplanes and it changes my entire experience. You don't get overstimulated by all that background noise. They're delightful.
You're one of those people. You're one of those people. Everyone's excited to sit down next to Liz Wheeler and boom, automatically the headphones go on and no one gets a single word in. How unbelievably
Actually,
rude.
No. Here's what I do. I wear one headphone in one ear because I generally have my two-year-old with me when I travel. Ah. So I listen to something simultaneously while I have to have an ear open for my kid.
She is Liz Wheeler. She's the author of the book, Hide Your Children. Liz, the Republican Party is useless, completely useless. And they've mastered giving a voice to our concerns while never doing anything about those concerns. Is the Republican Party, are its days numbered, Liz?
So the Republican Party is an absolute mess. When I'm describing what my book is, I tell people that the first half of it, I name the names of the Marxists that are behind the subversion of our institutions and the attack on our kids, because we need to understand this the reality of this political enemy if we want to fight back effectively against it. But the second half of my book is a massive critique of the Republican Party. Because Jesse, think about it. These Marxist forces have been active in our nation for literally decades upon decades. And while they have been slowly infiltrating and subverting and plotting to overthrow our institutions, what have Republicans been doing? We've had our heads in the sand. We've been blithely unaware. And I'm not really talking about, when I say us, I'm not really talking about you and I and other conservatives in the movement. I'm talking about the Republican Party apparatus, which is supposed to serve as a bulwark against these attacks on our children, against attacks on our institutions, against attack on our liberty. And yet we find ourselves in this cultural insanity where boys are told they can be girls. Girls are told that they can be boys if they identify as such. White children are told they're racist. Black children are told they're oppressed. We're told that America is completely illegitimate, and this is the reality that we live in, and we're supposed to believe that the Republican Party has been effective fighting against this. I completely reject this premise. So what I do in my book is I identify, well, what is it that the Republican Party has been doing that hasn't been working? What did they get wrong, and how do we change it?
How do we, and I know you lay all this out in your book, Liz, but how do we begin to change it? One thing that I run into a lot now is people are disheartened. They're disheartened. They're I don't want to say given up, but it almost feels like that. They're at the point where they don't feel like it can be fixed. So, Jesse, screw it. I'm not getting involved anymore. It's too impossible is what they say.
Well, it is impossible and it is hopeless if you embrace the philosophy of the Republican Party. And what I mean by that is there's a philosophical aspect to this and then it manifests practically. So I'll give you a quick example of both the philosophical and the practical. The philosophical problem with the Republican Party is how they define freedom. So you and I, Jesse, we sit here and we think of ourselves as living in a free country. The United States is a free nation. But what does that actually mean? What is the definition of freedom? What is liberty? The Republican Party defines liberty as being the end in and of itself, the end of our policies. That's the goal. And this has been widely accepted among not only elected Republicans, but a lot of the Republican electorate. But when I'm diving into this, when I'm unpacking this in my book, And in the past few years, I realized that if liberty is an end to itself, then what David French once said when he said that drag queen story hour is a blessing of liberty, then there would have to be some inherent morality to that drag queen story hour, to these grown men dressed as sexualized versions of women gyrating in front of children. And I reject the idea that there's any kind of morality in that just because these men have the freedom to do that, which means that the Republican Party has gotten the definition of liberty wrong, that liberty is not an end to itself. Liberty is the means to something greater. So this is obviously the philosophical part of my book. I challenge conservatives to grapple with the questions. Well, if liberty is a means to something greater, what is the something greater? What do we want our society to look like? How do we define human flourishing? And how do we use the just authority of our government to help enact those ends? And the practical part of this, the practical application of this philosophy, Jesse, is that a lot of conservatives have fallen prey to the idea that limited government means a small, tiny government, that we shouldn't use government for anything. And that's not what limited government means. Limited government means government is constrained by enumerated powers and constrained by accountability to the people. But there is a just authority, of government use to properly order our society. And until conservatives are comfortable with using our state and federal governments to ban critical race theory in school, to ban trans ideology in school, to prohibit any private business who has a DEI officer from doing business with the federal government, from banning any institution that does ESG or has an ESG score from doing business with the federal government, until we're comfortable using the just authority of government to fight back against these poisonous Marxist ideologies, we're not going to win. So if we continue down the road that we're on, I actually agree with a lot of your viewers. It is very hopeless. It does seem impossible, but that's not the only answer. We can recalibrate our thinking and we can adjust the way that we have used government to fight back against these evil enemies. And this idea I'm proposing, by the way, is not new. This is actually our constitutional heritage. This is the way that the framers of our Constitution defined what they believed a flourishing society to be.
She is Liz Wheeler, and the book is Hide Your Children. Go buy it. It is available. Start digging into it. Let's save this place. Wherever books are sold, I'm assuming, Liz, unless you have a special website you want them to go to.
No, you can get the book at hideyourchildrenbook.com, or you can go right to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or anywhere that books are sold, whatever suits your heart's desire. As long as you pick up a copy of this book, and then let me know what you think of this. I know that this is a little bit of a challenge to prevailing Republican thought, and I'm really interested to hear people's feedback.
I'm not interested in anyone's feedback on my book. I just naturally assumed it was the greatest book ever, but Liz is better than me. Liz Wheeler, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jesse. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. You know whose feedback I cared about for my book, Chris? Mine. What, Chris? That's why I reviewed my book on the back of the book. They asked me for professional reviews. I gave them two of them from me. They said, are you serious? I said, yes. I'm also serious about this. I'm looking at a chart about where all the gold is going. You know where the gold's going on the planet right now? The headline of the chart is Gold Flows East. Is this from you, Michael? That's a good score on this chart, by the way. Who's buying all the gold in the world? Oh, I don't know. China, India, Turkey, Thailand, Saudi Arabia. Stop me if any of this is sounding familiar. Buy precious metals right now. Nation states are seeing what's coming economically, and they're buying up gold and silver. You don't have to take my word for it. Look at the trends. What was reliable and worth something 1,000 years from now will be reliable and worth something 1,000 years from now, or wait, 1,000 years ago, and now 1,000 years from now, it'll still be worth a ton. Gold, silver, get it in your hands so you don't get financially wiped out. Oxford Gold will handle it all. 833-995-GOLD. Tell Oxford Jesse told you to call. 833-995-GOLD.
This is an iHeart podcast.